of course, it's a bit of an embarrassing experience, this thing of running out of gas, but when there's not fuel, the car doesn't go, right? Just across the street, of course, there's all kinds of really cool farm machinery over at M.M. Weaver. And our boys especially really like seeing what goes in and out of there, what gets rented. All of that machinery and the technology that's involved in what that can do is incredible. But all of those machines, as incredible as they are, can't do anything if they don't have some sort of fuel to, you know, make them do their thing. In a similar way, we have motorcycles, we have farm machinery, and we, as God's people, are God's vehicles, right? We know as followers of Christ, God wants to use us to further his kingdom purposes in this world. But we need to be fueled by his Holy Spirit and by a deep connection with him. I believe that many of us as North American believers struggle and have this temptation of wanting to do a lot for God, wanting to produce a lot, we try really hard sometimes in order to serve others. We try, and we do it in a way that's not really tapping into the life-giving fuel of God's Spirit that he offers to us. John 15, the passage that Tate and Trevor read earlier, is probably my most favorite passage of Scripture. And I think one of the reasons that this Scripture has been so meaningful to me is that I see, as I look back on my life, I see this tendency towards self-sufficiency. And what I mean by that is this tendency towards trying to figure out my own problems, figure out my life, figure out what God's will is for me, as if I was able to somehow figure it out or try harder to live the Christian life. And yet Jesus makes it very clear in this Scripture that it's actually very simple. This thing of bearing fruit in our Christian lives is very simple. I'd like to read a few of the verses specifically from the Message translation. I really like the wording that is used in this translation. And I'll be reading chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whenever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. So there's something about this deep connection that we have as branches with the vine, Jesus, that bears fruit. It's as simple as that. The NIV uses the phrase, remain in me. And King James, abide in me. So all these are just different ways to describe the connection that Jesus offers us as his children. So if it's so simple, then why do we not stay connected to Jesus? You know, why do we have this trouble in remaining in the vine, in making ourselves at home in Christ's love? Well, of course, we live in a world where many around us are not doing that. They don't know Jesus. They're not connected to that life-giving source to sustain them. And even within our Christian communities, our church family, there's a lot of busyness that keeps us from remembering who God is and who we are, remembering the source of our life, the source of our strength, the source of our energy. But if we think back to Jesus, not just his words, but his example, we see his relationship with his Father as being one of intimacy, of one of deep connection. Of course, Jesus is well known for his teaching, for his miracles, for his death and resurrection. All of that, incredible. So where did it come from? How was it that those kind of things were evidenced in the life of Jesus? I'd like to read a few verses from John 8:28-29. So earlier in chapter 8, there's, you know, religious leaders are putting up a fuss about Jesus' testimony, about who he is. And then in chapter 8, verses 28, this is part of his response. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. I think this is just incredible what Jesus says. So it kind of blows our mind a bit. It's still difficult to grasp how Jesus is fully God, fully man. But he says, I do nothing on my own, but I speak just what the Father has taught me. So how does Jesus know what the Father has taught him? How does he know what God has said? Well, you don't know much about what someone is saying or someone is teaching if you don't listen, right? So there was a deep listening that was taking place in the life of Jesus. And we saw him time and time again go away from the crowds, time by himself, praying on the mountain. Time of listening. Jesus exemplified a critical dependence on the Father in his work. He was not just kind of like, oh, here I am, Son of God, and I'll just go do my thing. He was following his Father's instruction, his Father's leading, the whole way to the cross. I heard someone say recently that one of the best prayers to pray, one of the prayers that God loves most, is, help me! We see that in stories like the Pharisee and the tax collector. The tax collector's prayer was very simple. He knew he needed help. He knew he needed mercy. And of course, in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. And the way I understand that is, blessed are those who know their need, their deep need, their deep spiritual need for Jesus. It's hard for us to ask for help sometimes. It's hard to ask for help from God. It's hard to ask for help from each other. I know for myself anyways, I would much rather pray for someone else than say, I really need prayer. And as a missionary, there are many times where I've been in being over in Cambodia where I was very eager to help others. But when one of my Cambodian brothers or sisters asks what they can do for me or how they could pray for me or help me, I'm kind of at a loss for words. I think that one of our strengths as Anabaptist believers is this thing of serving others, of being others focused, of looking for the needs of others and helping to meet those needs. But I'm afraid that sometimes in that strength, we maybe misunderstand the phrase, it's better to give than to receive. That phrase is from Scripture. It's better to give than to receive. But I want to clarify, I feel like something that God has been clarifying in my life, the Scripture does not say it's bad to receive. However, in our human sinfulness, our tendency often is to think more about ourselves than others. And so our tendency is to think about, what am I getting out of this relationship, out of this job, out of this opportunity. So we do need to be confronted by that sinfulness, and to give, to be focused on giving and not just receiving. But of course, in the greatest commandment, after loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're asked to love others as ourselves. So if we're a motorcycle or a tractor, you know, and we want to take good care of ourselves, we got to get fueled up. And the same is true as believers. We need to know, what is it going to take for us to bear fruit? What is it going to take for us to persevere in this journey of faith? Again, as we think about the example of Jesus, I mentioned earlier the times that he drew away, that he understood the power of connecting with the Father in solitude. But it's not just about being by ourselves. I don't want to scare the extroverts out there by this message. God does call us to pull away and to be by ourselves, to reconnect with him. But God also calls us to community. This maybe feels like I'm preaching to the choir, speaking to a Mennonite congregation here. But as we think about the life of Jesus, you know, the time that he invested in his disciples and hanging out with them, a lot of told in the Bible of him spending time with the disciples around the campfire. And even within that larger group, there was Peter, James, and John, who were a closely knit group. And in some ways, Jesus must have connected with them or shared things with them that was different than the rest of the group. And we see, you know, there are scriptures that talk about some of the women who followed Jesus and the disciples and helped to provide for their needs. So Jesus had needs, and those were met in the community of believers there. So we can remain in the vine, stay connected through solitude, times of solitude, through times investing in community, and thirdly, in service. So again, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir talking about service. But there is something that is, I think in the past, sometimes I have thought what we do is we spend time alone with Jesus or in church so that we have what it takes to serve others, so we have energy to serve others, and that's kind of like depletes our energy. But I'm guessing there are a number among us here who you find such great joy in serving that it's kind of like the Matthew 25 experience, is you experience God's joy as you give a cup of cold water, you know, as you visit someone, as you feed the hungry and clothe the naked. As Bethany and I have been working with our missionary support team in this fundraising process, one of the things we were doing was making phone calls to individuals to invite them to invest in our ministry. But there are a number of times where that agenda had to got set aside because God had something more important. Several weeks ago, I called a man whose father-in-law had just passed away. And he was working through questions of, he was at a very needy place. He and his wife are asking questions of God, how are you calling us to care for my wife's mother? She's far away, maybe we should bring her back to Pennsylvania. All kinds of health complications. I was very upfront with him. I said, I called to, you know, to invite you to partner with us in our ministry, but I'm not going to send you any information. It's what's on God's agenda, what's on his heart for you right now is to know that you're loved and he's with you. And I had a wonderful time of praying for him, and he prayed for us in our ministry. That was an incredible experience of finding a way to serve others that was life-giving to me as well. So my encouragement and challenge to you this morning is to ask yourself, as a vehicle of God, how is your gas tank? How are you abiding, remaining in Jesus, making yourself at home in His love. And if you feel like your gas tank is maybe towards empty or not as full as you want it to be, then I encourage you to ask the Lord and to seek your heart. What is God calling you to do about it? Maybe some of you need to take a half a day off and be alone in solitude. Maybe some of you need to get together with a good friend you haven't gotten together with recently and really share what's going on. The hard stuff. The hard stuff that it's really hard to admit is going on in your life. And maybe some of us today are really stuck on our own issues, our own family, our own work, our own schedules, and we just need to find a way to serve others. Maybe God's calling you to serve others in a new way. Jesus did not come to call, in the scriptures he talked about, I did not call the righteous, but sinners. As I think about my spiritual journey with him, I sense that what he would say is, I did not come to call the self-sufficient. I came to call those who are needy. And the hopeful thing in the scripture in John 15, it's not just about what do I need to do to remain in Jesus more. Yes, that's part of it. But this is such a hopeful scripture because it's not about us striving or trying or drumming up some sort of good works. Jesus' promise is that if we remain in him, we will bear fruit. As a missionary, sometimes my temptation is to think about, well, how many people have I led to the Lord? How many people am I discipling? Or how many people's lives are different because of my contribution? And sometimes I try to judge myself against maybe what other missionaries are doing and compare myself. That's not what Jesus calls us to do. When we compare ourselves to others, that's totally unproductive. Jesus says that if we remain in him, we will bear fruit, and that fruit will last. Let me close in prayer, and we'll trust in Jesus to do what he said he would do. Father God, we worship you as the author of life. You're the creator of all things. You are the source of life. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we thank you that we have the privilege of being your children. We thank you that you are the vine, that we are the branches. We thank you that we are your vehicles and your Holy Spirit's work in us fuels us in knowing you and in making you known. God, for those of us who have tried, who are tired of trying and striving, I pray that you would help us to rest, to abide in you, to remain in you, to make ourselves at home in your love. And we thank you for your promise that as we do that, as we trust in you and not ourselves, that we will bear fruit. We thank you, God, for your loving call for each of us. Call us back to yourself. Call us back to times of solitude, to times of community, to times of service, in ways that are not just one more thing to add to our schedule, but things that really sustain us and give us life. We worship you and praise you this day. In Jesus' name, amen.